We give a Christian greeting to all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glad to be here with you this morning and to worship with you. Been blessed with the service and encouraged in the things that the Lord has for us, that He's provided for us. Salvation that's come to us. Who mostly, I believe, are Gentiles. Some of us may be unknown. We have some Jewish blood way back. Some of that is unknown to us. But I think for the most part, we consider ourselves to be the Gentiles. So it's good to be here and to share with you all here. Seek to give what the Lord has given to me and to look into His Word. Thank you, Brother Galen, for the encouragement, challenges to fathers. And I also seek that, or am planning to continue that thought of fathers today, being Father's Day. A message to fathers. And the rest of you, like Brother Galen said, listen in and perhaps offer prayers of thankfulness or prayers for fathers that you know, perhaps your own father or your husband. Those of you who are youth, maybe there'll be some ideals that you glean from this message. Young men, young women, as you think about future in life, what the Lord has for you. I invite you to, for introductory scriptures, to turn with me to Psalm 127 and 128. I'd like to read these scriptures as a beginning. Psalm 127 and 128. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 128. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. They're beautiful passages, beautiful psalms. And I believe both of them have fathers in focus. Some of the blessing, some encouragement, some truth of to fathers that God gives to us. I don't plan to necessarily look at these passages, but simply have them as a background. For or a backdrop for the message today. I've chosen to look at, take the word father and use it to make an acrostic. And so those are my points, the base for my points. I'd like to consider faithful fathers. Fathers that are faithful, fathers that are aware, fathers that are timely, fathers that are humble, fathers that are earnest, and fathers that rejoice. And may this be a message of encouragement, and I desire it to be a message of encouragement and teaching as well as we look at the scriptures. As we think about fathers who are faithful or faithful fathers, there's a few areas that we think of, that I think of. And first of all, I think of fathers being faithful to God. And we're thinking in the context of Christian fathers. Fathers being faithful to God and to their wives, to their children, to the Church of Jesus Christ. I think those show, as we look at these, being faithful to God is being faithful to these other areas as well. So let's turn to Ephesians 5. In this point, I'm going to read a number of scriptures, and as we think about faithful fathers, Ephesians 5, begin reading at verse 25. Thinking especially of fathers being faithful to their wives. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So I think that the primary teaching that we see here is that fathers, husbands, need to be faithful in loving their wives. And we have the example of Jesus in that. Colossians 3:19 gives us these words, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Thinking now about the children, being faithful to our children, Proverbs 17:6 gives us this truth that the glory of children, it's a special verse in the Bible, one that I came across recently, but the glory of children, do you know what it is? The glory of children? It's their fathers. The glory of children. You think about that. You think about and notice that in children, how they relate to their father and how they look up to him and how they really, young children especially, they just think their dad is almost a superhuman, don't they? And but the glory of children are their fathers, and what a privilege we have, fathers, that fathers had to be faithful to their children. And we have two passages in the Bible that teach us in particular about being faithful to them. Ephesians 6:4 is that they would provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again in Colossians 3, verse 21, is that you provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then being faithful to the Church of Jesus Christ. You can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4 is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and there's a relationship here of fathers. And as I think about the Church of Jesus Christ is his body, the body of believers, and fathers that are faithful in that, you know, there may be someone in the Church of Jesus Christ who looks to you as a father, as a spiritual father, as a mentor, and the call is to be faithful there. There's other families, there's other fathers who might be looking to you as fathers. But here in 1 Corinthians 4, I'd like to read verse 14, starting at verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. See their father-son relationship there? Paul's writing as a father. Verse 15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. See, it's a personal relationship, that relationship of father and son. It's personal. There's not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, whereof I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach you everywhere in every church. Paul also writes in 2 Timothy, or I'm sorry, in Colossians 1, he speaks about faithful brethren in Christ. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, he's writing to Timothy, who he mentions here in 1 Corinthians, but he writes to Timothy and he says, now, I want you to commit these things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithfulness to the Church of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 to 8, verse 5 to 8 speaks about a faithful man, Gaius, and Paul mentions there being fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. I'd like to consider now fathers who are aware or being aware as a father. And I'm thinking of a couple different areas here. About three areas, or four areas, I suppose. But one is that a father needs to be aware of his humanity. He's not perfect. A father, in that awareness, it should help him to realize that he's dependent on God. He needs to be dependent on God. He needs wisdom from God. And he needs a scriptural brotherhood to help him, not only for himself, but for his family. He needs the brotherhood in his humanity. He needs to be aware of the needs of his family. Fathers, I give this out of my own testimony, but there's some times, you know, that I realize, well, I just wasn't, you know, paying attention. I just wasn't aware of some of these needs that are there. And our wives can help us in that. We're thankful for that. But we think about the needs of our family. We think about the physical needs. We often think of that scripture in 1 Timothy 5:8, where, let's just turn to that. I'd like to read that. 1 Timothy 5:8. Paul's speaking here about providing, and he says in verse 8, chapter 5, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. So God's calling us as fathers to be providers, as men to be providers. Then we think about the physical. We think about food. You fathers pay attention to what how nutritious the food is that your children are eating? Clothing. You know, we think about providing, but also providing clothing that is a picture of godliness. You know, we think of modesty, simplicity, serviceable. We think about providing shelter for our families. These are all needs that we have. You know, is there, you know, as our families grow, fathers, do your children have a place to sleep? You know, a place that's adequate, a place that is, you know, gives proper privacy, and is healthy for your family as it grows. Sometimes we, you know, need a bigger house, and those are things that we need to look for and plan for. Transportation, think about safety in that, and even for the children with their, you know, I remember when my dad went and bought me a bicycle, and it was a gift that he gave to me. Think about that, or the wheels on the wagon seized up, are they turning, or the bikes working, are the swings working, are they in working order? You know, all those things are something that we can be aware of and provide for. And in addition to that, you know, we think about not only physical needs but spiritual needs as well, or emotional needs. And there's a lot that I could say here, but they're the emotional needs of our family is something that we need to be paying attention to and be aware of, because it is up to us to give stability in our families. Take the time to relate to our children, teaching them self-control, teaching them, well, now it's time to stop crying. You know, they fall and hurt themselves, but it, you know, it's time to stop crying, or maybe it's time to stop laughing. There's all those things that we can teach and help them in their emotional needs. There's time to comfort our children too. Take time to do that, and to be there for them. Spiritual needs of our family. I think in family worship, thinking about leading out in that, in Bible reading and singing and prayer. And again, our wives can help us in this as well, but we should be taking the lead in that, making it a regular thing in our homes, times of family worship, sitting together and worshiping God on a daily basis. Thinking about your children, are they, you know, do they have time to do their Sunday school lessons and be prepared for Sunday morning, and to know their Bible memory, not only for Sunday school, perhaps in school as well. And there are times, I believe, when it's good to, as a family, to focus on these things, such as Bible memory or other Bible studies. Leading out in spiritual. Another point of being aware, fathers are aware, I think, is being aware of where your children are. Where are my children? That's part of providing protection for them, knowing where they are. At home, where are the children? Where are they spending their time? If they're not with you, when you're away at work, you know, what are they doing in the house, in the field, in the woods? Are they wandering to the neighbors, or are they into some mischief? You know, there's things that we need to be aware of, and to guide them in things that are constructive. When you're away from home, you know, children, they just do things. You know, if there's no direction given, they won't just sit around. Generally, they find something to do. And is it constructive? After church, you know, when you're visiting, what are your children? Where are they? Do they know where the guidelines, where they're supposed to be? At the church work bee, usually some children come along, and that's good. But what are they doing? Are they Do they have the have you given them direction, and are they following it, or are they just doing their own thing? When you go shopping, where are your children? Whose care are they under? That's another thing. Sometimes we need to do something that some business or whatever it may be, a trip, and we don't take our children along with them. Whose care are they under? Who are their babysitters? Let's be careful about that. And at school, we know their school teachers. Should we? We should know their school teachers. Whose care are they under? Other adults that we trust. I think we need to be careful and think about that. Who do we entrust our children to? So really, all the time, we need to be aware, fathers, we need to be aware where our children are and require them to be accountable to us. The last thing, point here under aware is being aware of time. And I think of the passing of time. You know, we have those special days. This morning here on the way to church, we driving through the town 11, and there was a couple that were getting ready to go up the stairs into a house. And what did they have but a handful of balloons that said, "Happy birthday." And so there was a special day that they were remembering. Fathers, we need to remember those things. Birthdays of our wives, our children, other people in our lives. Of course, we have holidays, Christian holidays of Christmas and Good Friday and Easter and Ascension Day and Pentecost. Do we let those go by, or do we use the opportunity to teach? There's things like visiting school, and I can bear testimony that takes some planning to get that done. It takes some purposing to do that. But it's important, I believe, for our children as fathers and be there for the special times, their school programs. I know you have that here, picnics perhaps, other times that you can be, shown an interest in their lives and what they're excited about, their school trips or other things like that. There's other holidays as well, like Memorial Day and Independence Day and Halloween and Labor Day. Do we let those go by? You know, the world holds some of those up in a wrong way, but do we use the opportunity to teach? Well, no, we don't. We don't celebrate Halloween because it's celebrating evil. It's celebrating death. Take those opportunities to teach. And also, we need to be aware, and we think about time, we need to be aware of God's timetable. Where are we in God's timeline, God's timetable? We think about the creation and the flood and the Exodus. Do we have that in our minds? Christ's birth, Christ's second coming, the future age. Well, right here we find all of that here in the scripture, don't we? And we can teach that to our children. Being aware of eternity. I heard this given for eternity, the word time, I should say, that time, T-I-M-E, the immediate measure of eternity. Time is the immediate measure of eternity. Romans 13, I'm going to read a few verses there before we go on. Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Do we believe that we're just going in a circle? Or do we believe that we're moving forward? We're moving closer to the time when our redemption comes. A time of judgment. A time of giving account. Those are sobering verses for us. But let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not be selfish. So, I'd like to move now to letter T, and that is related to time, but thinking about fathers that are timely. Some of these overlap a bit, but I've divided it this way. Fathers that are timely. Now, think about timely, doing something in a timely manner. You take action. You're not just aware of things, but you take action. You do something about it. It's not passive. And there's some things in our lives that we have to take action and plan and decide. There's, you know, daily time when our schedules. How are we going to direct our families? Think about, you know, meal times and or rising times and meal times and time to go to bed. There's a time to be ready to leave for church. And there's a time to go home. Wherever we might be, there's a time to go home. We have to take action and decide that. We need to be timely with our promises, our appointments, and our obligations. Like being on time for supper. We promised the children that we were going to go to the zoo or we were going to go on camping or go fishing. But if we don't follow through with that, that's a disappointment. And that's something we need to be timely about. Being on time for our appointments, being on time for meetings, planning them in a timely manner. So in all of this, there's a time that we say, no, I can't, my schedule's full enough. I can't do one more thing. I can't do one more activity, one more meeting. Our family, we've done enough this week. We're not going to accept this invitation. And then there's times to say yes. Times that, we may have something else that we plan to do, but here comes one of our children and they have something that needs to be fixed, or they have a request about, will you help me with this lesson, or will you help me, will you read a book to me, or will you talk? Can we talk? It's time to say yes. We need to be timely with teaching. Deuteronomy 11:18 gives us some words about that. Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them, this is verse 19 now, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven, upon the earth. So we need to take the opportunities to teach by example, by telling stories, by working together. Teach our children and train them. Not only teach them, but train them. Train them is when for a train, there's a set of rails, right? Two rails, and the train is set on those rails, and that's where it goes. It follows the rails. Well, that's how training is. We set out something for our children. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And we do this teaching and training and correction. Think especially now about correction or chastening. We do that with love. And Hebrews 12:7 teaches us that, what son is he? Who isn't a son, a beloved son or a son, period, that his father doesn't chasten? He's really not a son if he's not corrected or chastened. And Proverbs gives us direction for this. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son. Anyone finish it? Chasten them while there is hope. Thank you. Proverbs 13:24, chasten, he that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes. And now let's turn to Proverbs 29 for two verses. This is under the thought of here of being timely. While there is hope, be times. Proverbs 29 and verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. And I think that most of you would agree with me that we have a window of time where we can correct our son and he will give us rest. But that window will close at some point in his life. So we need to be timely. And verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The teaching here is that a child, as he grows up, needs to learn, needs to have wisdom imparted to him. And the rod and reproof do give that. It drives the foolishness away from our children when we use the rod. The rod of correction will drive it far from him, Scripture says. And that when he grows up, it can be a blessing. A blessing to his mother. His mother is mentioned here. Child left himself will bring his mother to shame. So let's be timely, fathers, in correcting, in training, chastening our children. Now for the letter H. Humble fathers. Proverbs 29, we're here in Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. God wants us to be fathers that are humble. Humble before him. Isaiah 57:15. I'm turning to that. I don't think I can quite quote it, but maybe someone can. It says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. That's beautiful. God says, I'm the high and holy one. I dwell there, but also. We need to be humble before God. Have an humble and contrite spirit. Ready to be open with God. Ready to confess our sins before God. ready to ask his forgiveness, to ask for his help, to ask for courage, and as I mentioned before, to ask for wisdom. And this humility that we have before God as fathers will then flow into the rest of our lives, to the people in our lives, to our family, to our wife, to our children, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, into our communities, to our neighbors, when we're humble before God. An humble father also needs to be humble about his successes and his failures as a father, and to be ready to accept the truth about that, but to be humble about it. And one of the things is simply to acknowledge it, to acknowledge the reality of his successes and failures as a father. He also needs to be humble when his children are corrected by other authority. The Sunday school teacher, the Sunday school superintendent, the school authority, grandparents, babysitters. We need to be humble when our children are corrected by their authority. We need to be humble when our children embarrass us. There's a story of a father, young father, who was approached one day by his deacon. And his deacon said, "Brother, you need to pay attention to what your boys are doing after church, after the service." There was a family that was new to the attending the congregation, and this family had a son, a young son, and was afraid. His parents understood that he's afraid to go to church. He didn't like going to church at this new church. And they asked him why. And he said, "Well, it's because of the Pincher boys." And so the deacon was speaking to the father of the Pincher boys, telling him that he needs to pay attention, give them direction, and correct them. So we need to be humble in those situations when our children need direction, perhaps embarrass us. But we also need to be humble when they do well, when they succeed. We humble about that as well. Moving on to the letter E, I think about fathers that are earnest, fathers that have zeal, that are passionate. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do," right? "Do it with thy might." They're passionate about it. Whatsoever. That includes everything, all life. And we mentioned some of these before, but I come back again to fathers who are passionate about their relationship with God. They're passionate about spiritual things. Isaiah 38:19 has this phrase, "The father to the children shall make known thy truth." They're passionate about making known truth to their children. And again, this is the source. The Word of God, the Bible, is where we find that truth. They're passionate, our father's passionate. He's earnest about his family, about living with his family. And Ecclesiastes 9:9 especially focuses on living joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. Living joyfully together with your wife and your family, enjoying being together, being passionate about the Church of Jesus Christ, and holding up the banner of the truth. Not far from here, there's a man who has his priority list written on the inside of his barn, inside of his shop, where he does his projects. On the inside of the door, it says this: God, family, church, work, hobbies. Simple list, but I believe it's in the right order, and I appreciate that. Appreciate his testimony. As we think about being earnest and passionate, we also think about being caring about people and being caring about their souls. And we can show that in many ways. By speaking to them, by looking for needs, by taking time to listen, by praying for them, by visiting them, sharing with them. And another point under being earnest is that we are excellent in our work. You know, for many fathers, many men, our work, our job, our business, our employment, whatever it may be, is something that, you know, we really take interest in, and it somewhat can define us. And God made us that way, I believe, that we would be earnest in that, and that we would do, as Ecclesiastes 9:10 teaches us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Excellent. Be an excellent employer or employee. If you're an employer, be an excellent employer. Well, finally, I'm thinking about fathers and this Father's Day message. Fathers that are rejoicing. Rejoicing fathers. And we can put the word, I'll put the word thankful in there. Somewhat the same. There are many scriptures that we could look at. Psalm 92. In verse 4, Psalm 92 and verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Another psalm that I love is Psalm 32. And this is a psalm that has blessings to those who are forgiven and who have confessed their sins, whose sin is covered, and they've committed themselves to the Lord. But then verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We need to be fathers that rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the blessings that he's given us. Our wives, our children. You know, the scripture says, Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. So young men, you would like to obtain favor of the Lord, you seek a wife. Find a wife. It's a good thing. Proverbs 5:18, we have the phrase, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice in the blessings. Rejoice in the blessings of our children. We read Psalm 127 that the children are what? They're a heritage. They're an inheritance from God. Children are an inheritance. Rejoice in that blessing that they are. And I think, fathers, we need to rejoice in everyday life, the routines of life. Rejoice that, well, I'm able, I have health and strength. I'm able to work, to provide. What a blessing. And not all fathers have that. I believe they can rejoice. There's something that they can rejoice in, even if they don't have that. But most of us have that health and strength that we can provide for our families. What a blessing. It's easy to forget that. And finally, in rejoicing, Romans 12:12 speaks about rejoicing in hope. We have, the Bible gives us hope. The scriptures give us hope. Hope for the future. The best is yet to come. Hope in the Lord's coming, the rapture of the church, the time of meeting Jesus in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The time of the restitution of all things. That's something that we look forward to. We can rejoice in hope. That same verse, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. And Jesus said that if we're persecuted and we have troubles and trials, that we should rejoice and be exceeding glad, right? Because great is your reward in heaven. That's not just for fathers. That's for all Christians. Well, as we think about, we've thought about fathers. We're faithful and aware and timely and humble and earnest and rejoicing. 3 John 4. John writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And may that be our ultimate, one of our ultimate rejoicing that we rejoice about. Well, thank you for your attention, and may this message have been an encouragement to all of us, especially to fathers. May the Lord be praised. Let's kneel for a prayer.